Rye is the exact one coming out of that group. Can you just look on because I'm trying to let you
know?
Sorry. As I'll point out, not only are the Lamechus Malachos per se derived from the Binyan HaRishon, but even certain klolim, even certain principles, global principles that govern how Malach has to be done in order for it to be us and not Shabbos, these are derived from the building of the Mishkan as well. And one of these principles we learn from a pasuk in this week's parsha. Nathan, can I tell you to take the Malachos upstairs and make a couple more copies? I'm not sure if we're going to have enough. In Parshas Vayakel, the Torah says, discussing the building of the Mishkan, it uses the phrase "lasos b'chol leches makashavos," that all of the craftsmen who helped Bezalel performed all of the meleches makashavos, from which the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud, the Gemara in Beitza and Daf Gimel derive that meleches makashavos osrechol. The Torah only prohibits meleches Shabbos if it's meleches makashavos. What does that mean, meleches makashavos? So the simple understanding of that cloud, if you were to ask anyone, I think people would say that it means if you have to have a machshav, it means that you have to have intent, certain kind of kavana, not only to do the act, the physical maisa malacha, but you have to have a kavana as well in order for it to be asur and shabbos. This might exclude things like davashayim miskaven. Reb Shimon calls it davashayim miskaven is mutter. What does that mean? It means if I'm doing a malacha, let's say if I'm doing an act, and there's nothing wrong with the act that I'm doing, but as a result of that act, malacha gets done as well. A classical example is, let's say, I'm dragging a bench. I really want to change the location of the bench. It's in point A, and I want to move it to point B. The problem is, it's a heavy bench, so instead of picking it up, I drag it on the ground, and as a result of dragging it, what happens? A charitz, some kind of a rut, right? Some kind of an indentation in the ground is created, and that might be a malacha of charish. Reb Shimon holds that if this is a davar shemiskaven, it's not a segregation. We're not going to get involved in segregation today. But if it's something that doesn't absolutely have to occur, the bench is not so heavy. I could drag it and it's not going to create a charitz, but it happens that it created a charitz, but I have no way of knowing that that would happen. That's a davar shemiskaven, it's going to be mudra on Shabbos. Maybe this is derived from the principle of lasas b'chol leches machshavos. If leches machshavos is the only kind of love that the Torah prohibits, it's not called leches machshavos because it doesn't have the requisite machshavos. It's a davar shemiskaven. Or, there's another principle that the post can point out, misasek. Let's say a person doesn't know what he's doing at all. Let's say I'm pulling at something. I think that it's detached from the ground. I'm pulling at some res or something, some tavua, and I want to eat it. I'm pulling at something. I think it's detached from the ground. It turns out that it's actually still attached to the ground. I think I'm pulling talish and it's really mechubar. That's what we would call misasek. You're involved in something, but you don't realize the ramifications of your action. So that's also partner on Shabbos. Now, to assume that both Darshan Miskaven and Misasek are derived from the din of Malach Machshavos is a little bit interesting because we know that both Misasek and Darshan Miskaven are Pturim, or they have Terim in Kalat Harkula as well. They not only apply to Shabbos, but they apply to other issues as well. So that's quite interesting. It could be that there are different aspects of Darshan Miskaven that are unique to Shabbos, special halachas of Misasek that are unique to Shabbos. And those might be derived from this idea that since you need Malachas Machshavos to be Chayav Shabbos, these are not under the rubric of Malachas Machshavos, so therefore they're going to be Mudra Shabbos. Another example that's given of a kind of Malacha, because you don't have the right intent, it's going to be Mudra Shabbos, is what we call Malacha She'en Tzricha L'Gufa. Anyone know what that means? Yes, Moshe?
Can you maybe, let's say, take a hold for just to have the dirt, not to have a
good. Good. Exactly. Malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa means you're not doing it for its purpose. What do you mean for its purpose? So some interpret for the purpose that the malacha was done in the Mishkan itself. Rashi on that side, again, along the base, in Shabbos says that malacha she'en tzricha l'gufa means you're not doing it for a positive purpose. You're doing it only to prevent negative results. That's what Rashi says. So the classical example is, let's say a person extinguishes a fire. So in the Mishkan, the fire was extinguished because they wanted to create a coal. In that time of the Mishnah, you couldn't cook without having coals. Because if you didn't have a coal, the fire would be too high. So they made a coal. Thank you. They made coals. You don't have a copy of the coal, pass it back. They made coals in order to have a lower flame, something that could produce a fire that's warm enough to cook, but it's not high enough that it's going to burn the food. So that's the classical case of kibbutz. But the kibbutz that we do is invariably not to create coals, rather the kibbutz we do is to conserve fuel. different terafil. So that's what we would call melacha shein sichlo gufi. You're doing it to prevent a negative result that someone is going to lose the fuel and wants to conserve the gas. So that's potter on Shabbos. Right? Potter on Tzmachodos Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. We pass it as potter avalasa. The Rambam actually passed it as Chayev. But we pass it as potter avalasa. Again, this is derived from the din that melechas machsheves asur Torah. The Torah only prohibits melechas machsheves some kind of melacha that you have machshava for. And since you're lacking the requisite machshava, so therefore a person is going to be Chayev, it'll be potter on Shabbos. This is one type of halacha that's derived from this din of melechas machsheves. But the Targum on the pasuk Lachas Becham Melechas Machsheves says something different. He says that Melechas Machsheves means Ividas Umdin, a craftsman's work. The impression you get from the Targum is that Melechas Machsheves doesn't only mean a melacha that has machshava in it, but it means a melacha chashuva. Machsheves doesn't mean machshava, or it doesn't only mean machshava, it means chashuva, that there's some importance attributed to this melacha. What do I mean? What's excluded based on that understanding of Melechas Machsheves? So some suggest maybe a malacha that's done the ofen shel shili. As if you do a malacha in an abnormal fashion, kalachayad, if a person writes with his left hand, or someone picks something up in a strange way, kalachayad, if you pick something up with the back of your hand. So that's not a malacha chashuva, that's not the normal way that a craftsman would do the work. So maybe that's excluded from the din of malachas machshavas. Now this has nothing to do with machshava. You want to do the malacha in exactly the same way that you would do it if you would do it normally. It's just that you're doing it in a somewhat abnormal fashion. So that also might be excluded from the din of Melechas Machsheves, but not the first aspect of Melechas Machsheves, the fact that you need Machshava, but rather Chashivus, that you need importance to the Melacha. There has to be a certain level of craftsmanship in this Melacha. Not that you have to be a craftsman, but it has to be done the way a craftsman would do it, in a Chashiva way, in a somewhat important way. Some suggest that maybe Mekalkel, the reason why Mekalkel is Pater Avalasar, it's an Isidra Avana, but it's Pater Natora, is because it's also not called Melechas Machsheves. It's also not a Melacha Chashuva. You might be Korea, you might be ripping something, so you say, well, Korea was in the Mishkan, so why shouldn't that be a Melacha? No, but it's Shalom and Anas Litfar. You're not ripping in order to be able to sew. Sometimes you have to rip a garment in order to be able to sew it appropriately. If you don't rip the garment, it'll bulge. It's not going to sew properly. So that's Korea Almanas Litfar. If you're ripping in order to do something positive, in order to be Tovah, that's Melechas Machsheves. But some claim that Korea Shalom and Aslitvar, if you're ripping not with the intent of doing something positive, but you're just ripping. So if you're only Makalkel, or if you're Sosa Shalom and Aslitvnos, you're breaking something not in order to build it better. Sometimes you got to break something down. It's not going to be even, the building is not going to be appropriate, so sometimes you got to break something down in order to build. But if you're not breaking, you're not destroying in order to be able to build appropriately, in order to be able to fix something, so that's going to be potter. That's also excluded from the din of Melechas Machsheves. There's one halacha which I want to focus on today, which actually there's a machlokas rishon whether this is b'chlam Melechas Machsheves, or this is excluded based on Melechas Machsheves, or not. And that's the principle of Melacha She'einam is Kayenes. Sometimes a person will do a Melacha on Shabbos, but it's not permanent, it's not lasting. So we know that that's potter, we assume that that's going to be potter. We'll have to discuss what the source for that is, but the post can say that is potter. The question is, why is that potter? Is that because Melechas Machsheves asur Torah? That the Torah only prohibits Melechas Machsheves, some kind of choshuva work? This has nothing to do with a person's kavanah, a person is doing melacha. But it's not choshuva enough, it's not important enough because it's not going to last. Or should I say, no? Maybe melacha shein and shein miskayemes b'shabbos is potter for a more basic reason. Maybe if you look at the particular melachos where we find this cloud and melacha shein miskayemes b'shabbos is potter, or maybe it's mutter, all of those melachos, if they're not the sky, maybe that's not called a melacha at all. Maybe we can't define that as a melacha at all if it's not lasting. What do I mean? So this halacha, the first source for this halacha, melacha shein miskayemes, is a mishnah in the 12th parak of Shabbos, at the beginning of parak kabonet, parak yud beis of Masechta Shabbos, davkuf beis amabeis. So, as you would imagine, the Mishnah talks about binyan b'Shabbos. Habona kamayisha b'heichayev, habona kolshu. How much do you have to build on Shabbos in order to chayev kolshu? And then the Mishnah discusses other things that are related to bonim, mesates, makadapatesh, matzah, koder, drilling, and other things, banging with a hammer. And the Gemara, then the Mishnah, excuse me, concludes that zehaklal, kol ha'osam malacha, u'malachta miskayemes b'Shabbos chayev. Anyone who does malacha, and the malacha is miskayem and lasts on Shabbos, is going to be chayev. So the impression you get is that if someone does a malacha, if it's miskayim b'shabbos, it's chayav. If it's malacha she'ena miskayim, then it'll be potter. This is in reference to binyan b'shabbos. The Mishnah similarly on Kuv Daled Amud Beis, talking about kosim b'shabbos. Mishnah says kosim b'mashkim and eperet b'avat drachim b'avat sofrim. If you write with mashkim, with liquids, or with fruit juices, or with avat drachim, with the dust of the way, b'avat sofrim, with the dust that's left over from the sofrim when they scratch off ink from the cloth. If you write with anything that's not miskayim, any of these things, the assumption is fruit juice, what's going to happen? It'll be there for a little bit, but then it's going to evaporate. It's not going to last. Avak drachim, avak sofrim. So the Mishnah says, if you write v'chol davar she'eino miskayim, you're going to be potter. So these are two mishnayos, just two blot away from each other. Davkuf beis and beis, davkuf zalan and beis, which both seem to say, one says beferish, that's kovdala, the other implies that if you do a malacha with a davar she'eino miskayim, in a way that's not going to be miskayim, you're going to be potter on Shabbos. Of course, these mishnayos are only talking about bona and kosev, but at first glance, these mishnayos teach me a general principle, that anytime that you do a malacha she'eino miskayim for Shabbos, it should be potter. That's exactly what the Rambam writes. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam is talking about soveya, coloring. He's not talking about boni, he's not talking about kosim. At soveya is similar to kosim, but it's a different malacha, it's another av malacha. So says the Rambam, ve'inat soveya chayav ad she'hei tsevah miskayim. But soveya, someone who colors something, is not going to be chayav unless it's tsevah, unless it's tsevah she'ei miskayim klal. Kigon she'hever srak o she'shar al gabi barizel o nefoshes et tsevah vata. Someone who uses a tsevah she'ei miskayim, if he uses a non-lasting tsevah, a non-lasting color, he's not going to be chayav on Shabbos. The Magen Mishnah explains that the Rambam derives this principle, even though there is no Mishnah in all of Shabbos that talks about Tzeva She'en Meskayim, he derives this principle from the Mishnah in Shabbos, on Nafkot Bezim and Bez. Kalos, Malacha, Malacha, Meskayim, Esper Shabbos, Chayv. So you see from that Mishnah, claims the Magen Mishnah according to the Rambam, you see from that Mishnah a general principle, not just a halacha about Bomen, not just a halacha about Kosev, but a general principle in all of Shabbos that if the Malacha is not Meskayim, you're going to be Potter. It's interesting, the Lashon of the Rambam seems to indicate something interesting about this idea that the Malacha has to be miskayim. The Lashon of the Rambam is, V'chol she'en malachto miskayim es b'shabes potter. If the Malacha is not miskayim b'shabes, you're going to be potter for that Malacha. Now, it's not really the Rambam's school, the Rambam is just parodying the Mishnah about the faith. So that's the Lashon of the Mishnah again. Zeh ha'klal kol ha'osu malacho malachto miskayim es b'shabes chayim. The kalal of the Mishnah is kalaosa malacha malacha maskemes b'shabes chayim. What does it sound like? It sounds like it's enough if the malacha lasts how long? As long as on Shabbos, right? As long as it lasts the day. That's enough. This is what the Sha'arat Zion, just parenthetical, the Sha'arat Zion, if you want to look it up, it's in Siman Shin Gimel, Sikot B'Samaches. Sha'arat Zion says from the Lashon of the Rambam, the fact that he interpreted, see, the Lashon of the Rambam is not exactly the same as the kalal of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says kalaosa malacha malacha maskemes b'shabes chayim. The Rambam says the whole she'ei malachta meskayemus b'shabes potter. The Rambam leaves out kalaosa malacha. So Rashi, interestingly enough, Rashi on there in the Mishnah it says kalaosa malacha. Excuse me, b'shabes. He says malachta meskayemus b'shabes. Aosa malacha kot, meaning someone who does malacha on Shabbos and the malacha is miskayemus is going to be chayim. So Rashi interprets malachta meskayemus b'shabes doesn't mean that the malacha is miskayem for Shabbos, but rather that you're doing the malacha on Shabbos. So that's quite interesting. It's not exactly what the Mishnah says. What does the Mishnah say? Kala'osa malacha, u'malachto miskayem es b'Shabbos. According to Rashi, the Mishnah should have said, kala'osa malacha b'Shabbos, u'malachto miskayem es chayt. So, the fact that the Mishnah put the word b'Shabbos after the phrase malachto miskayem es probably led the Rambam to say that even if the malacha is only miskayem for Shabbos itself, that's enough to be chayt. It's quite an interesting idea that severely limits how long the malacha has to be miskayim in order for a person to be chayav. This is what the Sha'arat Zion points out. Okay, this is the deal that the Sha'arat Zion that the Mishnah Berurah has from the Lashon of the Rambam. Again, Rashi would disagree. Now is not the time to discuss the details of the Mishnah. Rashi really has an entirely different interpretation of this principle as the Mishnah Kuf Beis presents it. Rashi's understanding of malacha miskayim as l'gavi bona is totally different. If you look at the Rashi carefully, seems to be saying something different. It's not so clear that Rashi would not subscribe to the Rambam's understanding that there is this general principle that if you do a malacha shenu miskanos b'shabbos, you're going to be potter. Maybe he derives that from the other Mishnah. Maybe he derives that from the Mishnah on Kuf Daled Amud Beis. But at least in this Mishnah, Rashi does have a slightly different interpretation. But the Rambam, this seems to be the mainstream position of the Poskim. The Rambam understands that from these two Mishnayos, from Kuf Beis, Amud Beis, and Kuf Daled, we derive a global principle that kol hosam malacha malachto enem miskanos b'shabbos is going to be potter. Thank you. Sharat Zin is the guy that the Rambam doesn't start by saying kol osa malacha. He says kol she'ein malachto miskayemes b'shabbos. So it's very hard to say that that word b'shabbos, according to the Rambam, or within the lashon of the Rambam, means kol she'ein malachto hanasa b'shabbos miskayem. Sounds like he's saying kol she'ein malachto miskayemes b'shabbos. Sounds like it's miskayem for Shabbos. You think it just means kol she'ein, because the Rambam should have said kol osa malacha b'shabbos ve'ein miskayemes. The fact that he says kol she'ein malachto miskayemes b'shabbos, he changes the phrase of the Mishnah. So it seems as though malachto miskayemes is not b'shabbos, not referring to the osa malacha. B'shabbos is really referring to the malacha itself. Malachto miskayemes b'shabbos. That only if it's miskayem b'shabbos would you be chayev, and if it's not miskayem b'shabbos, you'd be potter. But it would sound as though even if it's miskayem only for Shabbos, the Rambam said that's enough to be chayev. That's the deal that the Sharetzim has. So he points out himself, the Sharetzim himself points out, that Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, kol ha'osa malacha, Rashi says, malacha miskayem is b'shabbos, b'shabbos ha'osa malacha koi. B'shabbos ha'osa malacha koi, meaning he's doing malacha on Shabbos, not that it's miskayem b'shabbos.
That would be low, that Rashi's interpretation would be low for
Malona? So Rashi, well, no, I'm just pointing out that Rashi has a totally different understanding of malacha miskayemes, at least when it comes to bona. Rashi seems to say malacha miskayemes means that people leave it at that. They don't do more. That creates a certain chashivus. That if some people would leave the binyan kol shehu right there and then, and they're not mosif on that binyan, so that's called malachto miskayemes. That's miskayem in that form, and people don't add to it. A totally different understanding of the phrases, of the phrase malacha miskayemes. Obviously, the Rambam did not understand that way. And even if Rashi would not have learned the general klal of malacha miskayemes b'shabbos from this Mishnah, it could be he'll learn it from a different source, maybe from the Mishnah called Dalit. Maybe that's where he'll learn this principle that if malacha miskayemes b'shabbos, he's going to be put. Okay. So this is a principle. Principle at least that the Rambam has, that if your malacha is not miskayemes b'shabbos, you're going to be put. The question is, why is that true? Why is that true? The Rambam applies it to Tzoveah. The Mishnayos applied it to Bona and Kosev. Why? Why is that true? So one could say that it's based on the age-old principle, the Melechus Masheves Asur Torah. The Torah prohibits only Melechus Masheves. If it's not Miskayim, what kind of a Melecha Chashuv is that? That's what you could suggest. One could say, though, maybe that's not true. Maybe the principle is, maybe the reason why Seva Shein Miskayim is not going to be called a Melecha, not because it's not Melechus Masheves, but rather because that's not called Soveya. Soveya means that you're dying something and it's going to last. If it doesn't last, how can we call that dying? If a person is writing something and the ksav is not going to be miskayim, how can we call that writing? A person builds and it's going to disintegrate, it's going to fall apart. Is that called bona? Maybe the reason why malacha she'enu miskayemes b'shabbos is potter is not because it's not within malachas masheves. It doesn't fall under the rubric of malachas masheves. But rather, that's not called malacha at all. Not called malacha at all. This seems to be a dispute among the Rishonim. Going back to the Mishnah, that called Dalet Amud Beis, yes, Moshe.
When it comes to Soveya doesn't last, he still has a Kavanah to do Soveya.
Exactly. So his Kavanah is 100%. There's no question that the Din of Malachas Masheves will not pater you in that case because you lack a Kavanah. What it will pater you is we're not going to consider it, you might not consider it Malachas Masheves because it's not a Chosh of a Malacha, it's not significant enough because it's not going to be Miskai. That's one approach. The other approach is to say, it's not called Soveya. Soveya means, by definition, that it's permanent. If I'm dying something and my dying is not going to be permanent, that's not called Tzviya. That's the other approach. Okay, so we find in Machlokas Rishonim not regarding Tzviya, but rather regarding Kosev. Let's go back to that Mishnah on Kuf Daled Amud Beis. Mishnah says that, yeah?
No, Machlokas between Rishonim and Yehuda would suggest that if they do,
Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying that Davish and Miskavin is still chai, right? So he holds you don't even need as much kavanah. He would say Malachas Machshavas is also chai. So he would say Malachas Machshavas really is not telling me halachas of kavanah, perhaps. Maybe it's only telling me chashivas. But he would probably subscribe to this other halacha of Rav Moshe, that the melacha has to be chashuva, and if it's not significant, if it's not a chashuva melacha, it's still to be part. So we're just saying is that's the machlokes in Kolat HaRakula. That's not just the melachas machshavas halacha that applies to Shabbos. So we spoke about that. Right? It's not so clear that Dov Shem Eskav is a special halacha Shabbos. That could be in the Kolat HaRakula. That whenever a person does something and it's Dov Shem Eskav, maybe he doesn't violate any Isser in the Torah, not just an Isser of Shabbos. But we're talking about the other principle that we derive from the din of melachas machshavas, and that is, forget about machshava. Let's say you have the requisite machshava. I want to dye this item, but I'm using a dye that's not going to last. So maybe that's not called tzviya. Maybe it's not called tzviya at all. Or even if it is called tzviya, maybe it's not called melachas machshavas. The Mishnah comes down on the basis of talking about writing with ink that doesn't last. Writing with some kind of item that's not going to last. The ink, the avak drachim, the avak sofim, etc. is not going to last. But Farshan points out that the Tosefta adds that not only are you to be putter if you write with the Dov Hashem Miskavi, but even if you write al Dov Hashem Miskavi, even if your surface that you're writing on is not Miskayim either. Meaning you're writing with something that's just going to disintegrate, it's not going to last, something very soft, a soft leaf or feather or something which is not going to last. So if your surface prevents whatever you're writing from lasting, let's say you write on plastic. So if you write on plastic, in some circumstances, you're right, the whole thing is just going to disintegrate. The heat is going to disintegrate if you write on your flesh in some ways. So let's say a person writes on a surface that the writing is not going to miscarry. The Tosefta says that in such a case you're going to be put. Well, not only if you write mid-Dover Shin of Skyim, but even if you write all Dover Shin of Skyim, you're going to be put. That's called Dover Shin of Skyim. And this is how the Rambam passes. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Tes Rav, quotes this Tosefta Lahama. Rambam says, Ein HaKos of Chai Vashiyach of Dover Haroshi and Vokhi. You have to write something that's going to last. The Yichtov Al Dover Shin of Skyim Aksav. Or uklaf uniyarveis, a person has to write on with something that's going to be miskayim. The writing will be miskayim like diyo or shofar or sikra or kumas kantam, etc. And he also has to write al davishim shem miskayim, like or certain skin or cloth or parchment, etc. Avol says the Rambam, hakosi b'davishim rishuma. And let's say you write with something that the ink is not going to last. Your mashkin, ubei peros. Those are the two examples, two of the four examples mentioned by the Mishnah Kuftal, didn't it? Osha Vidyo Uchiyos, but when you wrote with something that is miskayim, ala yirakos yakal davashayna omid, or on something that the surface will prevent the ink from staying, says the Rambam Potter. So if you write either vidavashayna miskayim or al davashayna miskayim, the Rambam says that you're going to be Potter on Shabbos. You have to have both. Melacha miskayim is regarding kosei, in the context of kosei, it means that you have to be writing. First of all, with something that's going to be miskayim, and secondly, on something that's going to be miskayim. If you're lacking one of them, the Rambam says that you're going to be potter. So is this true only regarding Shabbos, or is this true when it comes to ksiva and kol Torah kula? What's a classical example where we need ksiva?
Get,
right? Get, this is what we've been talking about the whole year. What's the halacha? Does the person have to write a get, b'davar shem miskayim, with an ink that's miskayim, al davar shem miskayim, or not? So b'davar miskayim, that's a mishnah, the mishnah that you test some at Aleph. Says that that you can write a get, a kol kosmas a get, the yovus, the kumas, the kankanim, etc. All these inks that the Rambam has mentioned, these inks which are going to be miskayim. So there's no question when it comes to a get, it's not called the ksav. You can't write on something which is not. You can't write with something that's not going to be miskayim. What's the din though? Can you write al davar she'en miskayim, or do you have to write al davar hamiskayim as well? So that's machlokes rishonim. Tosus and Gittin. On that Mishnah. I think we made reference to that Mishnah. One of the things the Mishnah says is you're allowed to write Al Ola Shel Zayis. Right? Doesn't the Mishnah say that?
Yeah.
Now, if you have some of those. Akal Kosu Vidyo Vesam Vesikra Vekumas Vekakandu Vechol Dava Shehu Shel Chayom Ein Kosu Lo Vemash Velo Vemeperes Velo Vechol Dava Sheinu Meskan. Good. So that's perfect. That's exactly what we expected. Then you have to write with a deal that's going to list. Says the Mishnah, Ein kosvin, sorry, ala kol kosvin, Ala Ola Shel Zayis, Ala Peren Shel Parv, and Osama Sapar, etc. So you can write on this Ola Shel Zayis, on a leaf of the Zayis. So says to Osama Pavala from the Beis, Dibra Masvil Al, this is actually a Tosis, which the Saras HaShas says really belongs in the Mishnah. Tosis says, Dafka Ola Shel Zayis, Uchiyotzi Bode Miskayim. Tosis says, Dafka Ola Shel Zayis. You would think that Ola Shel Zayis mentioned in the Mishnah is only an example. You can write on any olim, any leaf, on anything that you want, right? You can give her the olim, you can give her the karen shofar, that's it. Tosef says, no. According to the Tosefta, dafka olah shel zayis. Tosefta says, olah shel zayis b'chara v'glas v'chol davar shehu shel kayama kosher. Aval olah shel kreishin v'tzalim v'olah v'radim v'olah yirakos v'chol davar she'inu shel kayama hosel. Right? Tosefta says, that the only kind of olah that you can write on is this olah shel zayis, that the ksav is going to be miskayim. But any of these olah olin, not that you're bucking in leaves, but apparently what this Tosefta is saying is that there's some distinction to be drawn. There are some leaves that are going to disintegrate, they're not strong, and other leaves are stronger. So apparently, and this opposed seems to pass, and dafka olah shel zayis is strong enough, it's a davar miskayim. So then you can write the get on this item. But to write on a different olah, on a different kind of leaf that's not going to be miskayim, you can't. Even if you're writing the davar miskayim, but if it's on an olah that's not going to be miskayim, Tosefta quotes from the Tosefta that you can't write the get on that kind of an olah. The Rambam doesn't quote this Tosefta when it comes to Ilfos Gerishin. The Rambam in Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph, of Ilfos Gerishin writes dutifully that the only kind of D.O. that you can use to get is D.O., Kumas, Kankantum, etc., all of these D.O., all these kinds of things that can last. But some of which is not going to last, you can't use to write the get. But the Rambam doesn't mention this other item of the Tosefta, the fact that that you can only write on something which is going to be miskayim. The question that the Magen Mishnah asks is, what's the difference between get and Shabbos? When it comes to get, the Rambam says that it's enough to write bidavar hamiskayim. It's enough to write with an ink that's miskayim. But you don't have to write on a surface that's going to be miskayim as well. And yet when it comes to Shabbos, the Rambam says that you have to write on a surface that's going to be miskayim as well. What's the difference? Why should there be a difference between get and Shabbos? The Chora, Tos and Gidnach Avalach and Beit is right. If we assume like the Tosefta and Shabbos, there's no reason to believe that no, we show them, we seem to disagree. If we assume like this goes after when it comes to Shabbos, then what's behind the cost of Shabbos, you must write not only the Yod that's Miskayim, but Al Davar Miskayim. So why when it comes to Get, does the Rambam seemingly split? He doesn't split Beferish, he doesn't write Beferish that you only have to write the Get the Davar Miskayim, but not Al Davar Miskayim. But from his omission, right, that's an error of omission, so to speak. If he means to say the same for Shabbos, same for Gittin, and he said for Shabbos, should have said it. In fact, that he didn't say it seems to indicate that the Rambam holds when it comes to get there's a split. That you have to write Bidav Ramaskan, but you don't have to write Al Dav Ramaskan. What's the answer? So the answer might be that maybe there really is a split between Shabbos and Gittin. Maybe the Rambam holds there's a split. But Tosus holds there is no split. Why? Because maybe Tosus understands that the requirement on Shabbos to write Al Dav Ramaskan is the same as the requirement to write Bidav Ramaskan. It's the same thing, and the requirement is that it's not called kosev unless you write b'davar hamiskayim, al davar hamiskayim. It's not called kosev at all, it's not called writing. Writing means it's got a list. This is not a halacha that's limited to Shabbos. It's a general halacha, so it'll apply in Kol HaTorah as well, it'll apply in Gittin as well. That's not only applying Shabbos. If you understand that writing b'davar hamiskayim, al davar hamiskayim, it's a general principle, that it's not called ksav, it's not called kosev unless you write in a lasting, permanent way. So there are two parts to that reality. You gotta write with something with an ink that's miskayim, you also have to write on the surface that's miskayim. So if we say like that, then that halach will apply not only to Shabbos, it will apply to Kol HaTorah Kula, it will apply to Gittin. Apparently what the Rambam is saying is if there's some special halach when it comes to Shabbos, the halach that you have to write with Yoha Miskayim, that's a halach that relates to Kosev in general. That's not only a halach in Shabbos, it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. It'll be a din in Gittin as well. That's why the Rambam said that halacha applies to get as well. But the Rambam assumes that the second halacha, the halacha that you have to write al davar hamiskayim as well in order to be chayav on Shabbos, that's a special halacha when it comes to Shabbos. That's a halacha that we learn from the din of melachas machshavas. Chashivos, there has to be an extra chashivos when it comes to Shabbos. Since that's the way melacha was done in the Mishkan, and that's called a craftsman's work, that's a choshiva type of work, the Rambam holds you're not going to be chayav on Shabbos unless you write in that fashion. It's not enough just to write the davar hamiskayim, but you have to write al davar hamiskayim as well. This is what the Prichadash in Ilchus Gittin suggests to try to explain the Rambam. It's a long Prichadash. I just picked out one One comment, just one couple lines. If you'll turn to source one in the handout. Second column of the Pre-Chadosh, he says, even though the Rambam in Perikid Aleph points out that in order to be Chayav and Shabbos, you must write both Bidavar HaMiskayim and Aldavar HaMiskayim, Hasan Be'inan Dumya De Mishkan, the Chamalacha She'en HaMiskayim Es Lo Mikri Malacha. Says the Pre-Chadosh, Shabbos is different, you need Dumya De Mishkan. And he doesn't say Malachas Makshavis, but it could be that's what he means. Dumya de Mishkan, it has to be Malachas Makshavis, it must be Ividas Umdin as the Uncle's hands, as the Targum hands. Malacha Shein Miskayim is not called Malacha, because it's not as Choshev, it's not the Malacha that they had in the Mishkan. Gulam Achayavala. Avalhocha says the Prechadosh, Avalhocha de Lokopi Kra Ela Aksiva. What does the Torah say? The Kosav La Sefer Krisis. So the Torah only cares about Ksiva. It's got to be called Ksiva, it doesn't need Malachas Makshavis. The Kemet Shekosim, the Dovah Shirishuma Omei, Shabbat Karina Bevekosav. Chodosh says that apparently it's called Bekosav as long as you write Bidovah HaMiskayim, as long as you're writing with an ink that's Miskayim. Even though Tachlis it's not going to last, because the surface is not such that the ink is going to last, but as long as you write with an ink that is lasting, that's apparently enough to be called Bekosav. So when it comes to Gad, what you need is Bekosav, it's got to be defined as Tziva. When it comes to Shabbos, there's some extra element. He doesn't call it Malachas Makshavis, he calls it Dumi the Mishkan. We can call it Malachas Makshavis. The Torah prohibits only Malachas Makshavis, some kind of Choshev work, Choshev Malacha. So that requires not only that you write Bidu Abraham Miskayim, that you write with an Inkat Miskayim, but Al Abraham Miskayim as well. It has to be that the surface is going to be Miskayim. So this is one example where we seem to find the Machlokas Tosis and the Rambam. Whether this element in Kosei, the Malacha Kosei, that you have to write, Al Dover HaMiskayim, what the Tosefta is Mechadesh, it adds on to the Mishnah and Shabbos enough Kavdalan on the base, is this extra prat part of Malacha Makshavis, or is this a new halacha? This is a halacha that is not going to be defined as Kosei unless you write Al Dover HaMiskayim. So if it's not going to be defined as Kosei, then it'll apply to Kalatara Kula, to give it into other halachas as well. But if it's a special halacha of Malachas Makshavis, a special halacha of Dumi Demishnah, so then it'll only apply to Shabbos. This principle, that maybe there's a debate in the Rishonim as to whether Shal Kayama is required in the Malacha on Shabbos because of Malachas Makshavis, or because that's how you define that particular Malacha, this relates to other Malachas as well. Let's just pick on two of them. Let's talk about two other Malachas, and then we'll call it a day. Let's talk about the Malacha of Tofer. Tofer means sewing. What does a person have to do for sewing? And where does sewing apply outside the realm of Shabbos? Kelayim. There's a principle that you have to, in order to be over in Kelayim, you have to be Mechaber, Tzemer, and Pishim together. Connect Tzemer and Pishim together. The question is, what's called a connection? Is it enough just to have what the postman called Tekifa Achas, that you penetrate only one way, there's one pass, so to speak? Or do you need Shtei Tekivas, that you have to pass once and then pass back? That's how it's going to be Mechuber. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch passed that you need Shtei Tekivos in order to be Chayav and Kelayim. This is in source 2. Yeridei and Simen Shin. The Shulchan Aruch passed that you need Shtei Tekivos, that you have to have two passes of the thread through the Tzemer and the Pishtan, the two Begadim, Begat Tzemer, Begat Pishtan. So you pass the thread through one way, then you pass it back. So that will create a Chibur. The Pasuk says, "Vosul b'sham nitzemer pishtim yachdav." There's this idea that the tzemer and pishtim have to be mechuber together, they have to be connected together in order to be chayev. What's called a chibur? So the Shulchan Aruch passes that you need shtei tekivos. But there's still a machlokas. There's a machlokas the Rambam and the Rush, machlokas the Mechaber and the Rama had a paskin. Whether you have to tie the Rush and Hachutim zelozet, you have to tie the two heads of the chutim together in order to be chayev. The Mechaber paskins that you don't. He says, "Oh, shetakav shtei tkifos, there is a kelayim, and that's enough." The Rama says, "V'yesham et lavi kelayim, el bebeis tkifos, v'kasha beis rosh ha'chut, tur b'shem rosh." The Rama quotes from the Rosh that it's not enough just to have two tkifos. Ah, sure, everyone agrees that you need more than one tkifa, you need two tkifos. But is two tkifos enough? The Mechaber says, "Yeah, it's enough as long as you have two tkifos, two passes of the thread through the fabric. That's enough to be mechaber the Begat Tzemer and the Begat Pishtim together." And you'll be chayav for that. The Rosh says no. The Rama dutifully quotes the Rosh, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and it's not enough just to have the two tkivos, but you have to be kosher, the Rosh and Hachut as well. You must tie the heads of the Chut in order to be chayav. So So the truth is, the Rush makes a lot of sense, because everyone seems to pass that in order to be chayim on Shabbos for Tofer, you have to be kosher, Rashay, Beis, Rashay, Achut. That's what it seems. In fact, even the Rambam passes that way. The Taz quotes the Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Shabbos, who says, the Tofer Shtei Tefiros Chayim, who should yiksher Rashay Achut in Mikan and Mikan. So the Taz is troubled. He says, look, the Mechaber is quoting the Rambam. The Mechaber in Hilchos Kilei Begadim quotes the Rambam to say that when it comes to Kilayim, the Rambam seems to leave this point out. He says, it's enough just to have Shtei Tekivos, even if you're not Mechaber, you're not kosher Roshay, Achot Zelazeh, there's no problem. So he asked the Taz, I don't understand. If you have to be kosher Roshay, Achot Zelazeh, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, so why when it comes to Hilchos Kilayim, does the Rambam disagree? So the answer that the Taz gives is the same point that we had, that we made in the Rambam as well, when it comes to Kosev. The Rambam apparently understands that why do you have to be kosher Roshay, Achot Zelazeh, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, not to be Chayav Hilchos Shabbos. Why? Not because it's not called tefira, because it's not called melechas machshavas. And since the only kind of melacha that the Torah asks on Shabbos is melechas machshavas, it's not going to be called melacha on Shabbos. But the Rambam assumes this is called tefira, even if you're not kosher Rosh Hashanah zelazeh. The Rosh says no, that's not called tefira. If the begadim are not going to remain together, that's not called a tefira. Tefira sheinu mishkanus going to the Rosh is not going to be called a tefira at all. So if it's not a tefira at all, it'll not only be relevant to the Shabbos, it'll be relevant to kol Torah kol as well, to kol begadim. It will be relevant to any other circumstance that you're talking about tefira. If it's not miskayim, dos heisnish tefira. That's not called tefira. So it's not going to be called tefira. You're not going to be chayim kelei begadim either. The Rambam says that it's called tefira. It's just not miskayim. It's not called melechas machshavas. So on Shabbos, if you need melechas machshavas, you're not going to be chayim for such a tefira. But kelei begadim, the Rambam will say that that's enough to be chayim for kelei. Right? That will be called kelayim. That if you wear that kind of a beggar, that's going to be called. It's going to be called Shabbos. There's no issur to make the beged. There's an issur to wear the begadim, to wear that beged. So if you make the beged, if you tie the Rosh Hashanah zelazeh, then you're going to be chayav. But if you don't tie the Rosh Hashanah zelazeh, the Rosh will say that you're going to be chayav. But the Rambam will say that you're still going to be chayav, because the Rambam says even if the tefira is not miskayemes, it still is called a tefira. It's not melachas mashavas, it's called a tefira. So where you need tefira, you can be chayav. In kelayim, tefira is sufficient. But in Shabbos, you need melechas machshavas. So there, the Rambam will admit that you have to be kosher, the Rosh Hashanah zelazeh, in order to be chayav. One of the most interesting examples of this idea that maybe certain aspects of melacha she'enem eskayemes only apply to Shabbos and not to kol Torah kula is the melacha of kosher. Specifically, this relates to the concept of kesher shel tefillin. How does kesher shel tefillin relate to Shabbos? What's the connection between kesher shel tefillin and Shabbos? This relates to a Gemara in Chulin. Gemara in Chulin on Pesach and Aleph talks about different things that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to know. Because my focus, I'm worried as to what items should a Talmud Chacham know. This is on Pesach and Aleph in Chulin. Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav Yuda Amar Rav Talmud Chacham Tzar Sheyum Al Gimel Devar Ksav Shchito Umila." Rav Hanani, Rav Shlomi, and Mishmei the Rav Amar, Av Kesher Shel Tefillin, and Brichas Hasanu with Tzitzis. There are two Amarim, what Amachlokas, but that's Rav. They have different Kabbalahs in the name of Rav. What is the Talmud Chacham supposed to know? The Yehuda Amar Rav says, Talmud Chacham has to know Ksav, meaning how to write properly. How to write, not how to write on the exam, but in other words, how to write Ksav for Sifrei Kodesh, right? Shchita and Mila. And Rav Hanani, Rav Shlomi has said in the name of Rav that even Kesher Shel Tefillin, Brichas Hasanu with Tzitzis. Even Kesher Shel Tefillin Brichas Hasanu Metzitzis.
Is that an addition or?
It sounds like an addition. Yeah, that he owns it. Talmud Chacham has to know six things. Ve'idach, and why does Rabbi Yehuda Rav not count? Well, it's not clear what this means. Ve'idach, hani shchicha. Ve'idach, why does Rabbi Yehuda Rav not mention these other items? Kesher Shel Tefillin Brichas Hasanu Metzitzis. Hani shchicha. Hani shchicha. These are shchiach. What does it mean, these are shchiach? Which are shchiach? The Yehuda Merav says that the Talmud Chacham has to know ksav, shchita, and mila. And then Rav Hanani Bar Shlomi added in Mishmei the Rav, even Kesher Shel Tefillin Brichas Hasanu Metzitzis. So why does the Yehuda Merav not mention these other items? Hani shchicha, these are shchiach. Which are shchiach? So here we find the Machlokas Rishon. The Mordechai, at the end of Chulin, in the Hagos Mordechai, oh, we have it. Page 3, Hagos Mordechai in Chulin. So he quotes Rabbeinu Elio mi Paris. He says, you know what Hani Shchicha means? It means that Kesher Shel Tefillin is is shchia. Kesher tefillin tzitzis and birchas chasanim is shchia. So because it's shchia, the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to know. What does he have to know it for? Again? Why? Because kesher tefillin and tzitzis, mishum da'ein tzvichin lima, mishum shemena'ura baki bahem. It's so shchia that the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to know it. Everyone knows that. A person has to tar that tefillin every single day, Rabbeinu Eliyahu says from the Gemara. A person has to tie his tefillin every day. So, just like a person knows how to put on tefillin, knows how to make the kesher shofin. So what, Talmud Chacham has to know that? Rabbeinu Tam was dochi. He says, no, that's not what the Gemara meant. The Gemara said, Hani Shlicha meant what? Rabbi Huda Marav only counts Ksav, Shchita, and Mila because Ksav, Shchita, and Mila are Shchiach. That's what the Talmud Chacham has to know. These are things that you use constantly. The Kesher shall fill and you can get the sofer just to make the Kesher once. And that's enough, Rabbi Natan says. You don't have to make it every day. Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, obviously you got to make it every day. Because the Gemara says, Hani Shchicha. Because Hani Shchicha, that's a reason why the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to know it. Because it's so common that why should the Talmud Chacham have to know it? Rabbi Natan says, Faker, because it's so Shchiach, Rabbi Huda Marav says, that's what the Talmud Chacham has to know. So Ksav, Shchita, and Mila is Shchiach. That's what the Talmud Chacham has to know. But Tfilin is not Shchiach. You do that once. You make the Kesher Shel Tfilin once, and there's no need to redo it every single day. Because there's no need to redo it every single day, there's no need for the Talmud Chacham to know. This is the Machlokas Rishon as to how to understand this phrase, Hani Shchicha. Are these items Shchiach, meaning Kesher Shel Tfilin is so Shchiach that the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to know it? Or no, the items which are Shchiach, Aksav, Mila, and Shchita, that's what Shchiach. And that's talking what the Talmud Chacham has to know. Kesher Shel Tfilin is not Shchiach at all. You just do it once, and it's enough for the Sofer to do it. Rabbi Natan quoted a very interesting riot to Yeshiva. Again, Rabbi Natan assumes that Kesher Shel Tfilin is not Shchiach, right? That you do it once, you don't do it every single day. So the Mordechai said, Rabbi Natan quoted a very interesting riot. There's a Gemara in Erevin that says as follows: what happens if a person finds tefillin b'shuk? Finds tefillin in the marketplace. He finds it in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. And the question is: can he take it home? Can he take it into Rosh Hashanah from the Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara talks about a case where you find tefillin chadoshim. What does it mean tefillin chadoshim? Presumably tefillin that don't have a kesher on them. That there is no kesher shel tefillin. So the best way to take it home would be to put it on. If you put on the tefillin, This relates to the question whether there's an issur to wear tefillin on Shabbos. What kind of an issur is it? Is Shabbos man tefillin or that's man tefillin? That's what the Gemara Eir really is doing. So can you tie the tefillin? Can you tie the kesher and put them on your head? Once it's a malvish, so then there's no problem with carrying in the Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara in Eir says that you're not allowed to tie them on Shabbos. If you find tefillin chadashim, you're not allowed to tie them on Shabbos. So Rabbi Natan said, well, just one second. If Rabbeinu Eliyahu is right, if the kesher shel tefillin is a kesher she'eino shel kayama, meaning if you have to redo it every single day, so if it's not a kesher shel kayama, so why should it be us at the tie on Shabbos? It must be, Rabbeinu Tam says, that the kesher shel tefillin is a kesher shel kayama, and that's exactly why the Gemara is saying that it's us at the tie on Shabbos. If the kesher is there, we're talking about tefillin yishanim, so then you can put the tefillin on and you can take it home. That's not going to be called hachnasa. That's not taking from the rishus haravim into rishus hayachid. Because it's just a malbush. It's not carrying. It's a malbush. You're wearing it. If someone's yarmulke falls off outside, you're allowed to put the yarmulke back on because you're not carrying. You're simply wearing it. You're turning it into a malbush. Rabbi Natan said that's exactly what the Gemara has in mind. The reason why it's usur to tie tefillin chadashim on Shabbos is because the kesher shel tefillin must not be a kesher shel kayama. Rabbeinu Eliyahu must be wrong. It's not a kesher that you redo every single day. It's a kesher shel kayama. If it's a kesher shel kayama, you're not allowed to tie that kesher on Shabbos because you'll violate the issur of kosher. So Rabbi Natan says, don't you see from the Gemara in Erevin that kesher shel tefillin is not a kesher that we redo every single day? If it would be a kesher that we redo every single day, so then it should be mutter to tie that kesher, even if you have tefillin chadash. It should be mutter to tie the kesher. What's the problem? It's a kesher she'eino shel kayama. What should be the issue? So the Mordechai suggests, he says, maybe Rabbi Natan's right is not such a raya. Why? Maybe the answer is that even if kesher shel tefillin is not a kesher shel kayama, maybe it should still be asa to tie that kesher on Shabbos. It should be asa, not a kesher shel kayama. What should be the problem? The Mordechai says, maybe, even if it's not a kesher shel kayama, because the Torah calls it a kesher, since the Torah says, ukshartam, the Torah treats the kesher shel tefillin as a kesher, maybe you'll be chayav for making such a kesher on Shabbos, even if it's a kesher she'eino shel kayama. That's the Mordechai's point. Rabbi Natan brings it right from the Gemara in Erevin, that al korach achim must be, that we're not tying the kesher shel tefillin every day, it must be a kesher shel kayama, and that's why the Gemara in Erevin says that you're not allowed to tie the kesher shel tefillin on Shabbos. Because if you would tie the kesher shel tefillin every single day, so then it would be a kesher she'eino shel kayama. There would be no issur to tie on Shabbos. Mordechai says, what's the right? Maybe tie a kesher shel tefillin as a kesher she'eino shel kayama. It's a kesher that you have to retie each and every day. Rabbeinu Eliyahu is really right that you have to retie the kesher every single day. The only thing is, what the Gemara in Erevin is saying is that nevertheless, even though you have to retie it every single day, and it's a kesher she'eino shel kayama, you'll still be chayav on Shabbos because rachmana kariyei kesher. The Torah treats it as a kesher. The Torah says ukshartam by tefillin, so treats this as a kesher. So even if it's a kesher she'eino shel kayama, you should still be chayav for it on Shabbos. So the Abinezer asks, what's the Mordechai saying? What's the Mordechai saying? What? If it's a kesher she'eino shel kayama, you'll still be chayav on Shabbos because rachmana kariyei kesher. So what does the Torah call it a kesher? But it's she'eino shel kayama. Isn't there a requirement when it comes to Shabbos to have a kesher shel kayama to do a malacha hamiskayemes? If you do a malacha she'eino miskayemes, then how can you be chayav on Shabbos? So what's the Rabbi Natan? What's the Mordechai saying? Rabbi Natan doesn't have a good raya. I think it's a good raya. Right? What's the raya Rabbi Natan brings seems to be completely blocked. If you'll assume that the kesher shel tefillin is the kesher she'eino shel kayama, how could you be chayav for not Shabbos? It must be that the Gemara in Erevin is assuming what? That the kesher shel tefillin is a kesher shel kayama. It's a kesher that you don't tie each and every day. Because if you don't tie each and every day, how could you be chayav for not Shabbos? You're chayav because rachmana kariyei kesher. Says the Abinezer, turn to page 4, as you see from this Mordechai, fundamentally it's thought about the din of shel kayama when it comes to kosher. He says, if you'll pick it up from the very end of the brackets, he says, Ach mizem muchach, the fifth to last line of the bracket, Ach mizem muchach, the tam ha'ez v'shabbat v'shem lo'fashu kesher k'she'enu shakayama. The Mordechai understands, claims the Avnei Nezer, that the reason why kesher she'enu shakayama is mutter on Shabbos is because it's not called a kesher if it's not shakayama. It's not called a kesher al pidin. But tefillin goli kro the chashem kesher. By tefillin, since the pasuk refers to the kesher shel tefillin as a kesher, the Torah is telling me that even if the kesher shel tefillin is not shel kayama, it still should be defined as a kesher. The Torah is arbitrarily defining the kesher shel tefillin as a kesher, even if it's not shel kayama. Aval im hatam, says the Avnei Nezer, mishum she'enu miskayim, if we were to assume that the reason why kesher she'enu miskayim is mutter on Shabbos, is poter aval aser on Shabbos, is because it's not miskayim. Meaning the concept of malacha she'eino miskayem is enough to pater, not because it's not called kosher, but because it's not miskayem. That in and of itself is enough to say that it's mutter. What does that mean? Meaning it's not the mishkan, it's not malachas on Shabbos. Not that it's not called a kesher. It's called a kesher, but because it's not miskayem, it's mutter on Shabbos. Mavakach the betfilin avi kesher. So what then a tefillin the Torah calls it a kesher? Mikomako mutter b'Shabbos mishum she'eino miskayem. On Shabbos it's still not miskayem, so it'll be mutter. If you assume that kosher, that the din of malacha she'eino miskayem is kosher, is a halacha that if the kesher is not miskayim, that's not called a kesher. A kesher means a chibur. Just like when it comes to tefillah, maybe if you're not kosher, roshe, yichud, zeh, lozeh, that's not called a chibur. So it might not only be a din in Shabbos, it might be a din in Kol HaTorah Kula, even in Kelayim. So maybe in kosher, that's also true. Maybe I shouldn't call this a chibur, unless you actually tie the item in a way that it's going to last. But if I tie the kesher in a way that the kesher is not going to last, maybe it's not called a kesher at all. So if we assume like that, so maybe there's a gzeras hakasid to say that kesher shel tefillin is called a kesher. Rachmana kariyei kesher. So maybe it's called a kesher, not only for tefillin, maybe it should be called a kesher for Shabbos as well. But if I assume that the din of malacha she'eino miskayem as it applies to kosher, is a special halacha in Shabbos that if it's not a malachas machshavas, even if it's called a kesher, it doesn't matter. So it shouldn't matter that the Torah calls the kesher shel tefillin a kesher. So what? Okay, so it has a shem kesher. It's a bris gevurah. It has a shem kesher. But in Shabbos, the shem kesher is not going to help me. Just because it's called a kesher doesn't mean that it's going that you're going to be chayav on Shabbos for this. If it's einu miskayim, it's still not going to be chayav on Shabbos. So this idea, whether there's a raya from the Gemara in Erevin for kesher shel tefillin, whether you have to tie the kesher shel tefillin every single day or not, the Chorosh seems to revolve around this question. We know that the Torah calls the kesher shel tefillin a kesher. The question is that enough to be mechayev on Shabbos for that kind of kesher? Even though it's not shel kayam, even though it's not going to last more than a day, nevertheless, you'll be chayev on Shabbos because rachmana kari kesher. That would clearly assume that kesher shel kayam is necessary only to call something a kesher. It's not going to be called a chibur, it's not going to be called a kesher, unless it's a kesher that's niskayim. So it could be that there's a chance because of the kesher shel tefillin, even if it's not shel kayam, it's still called a kesher. If you assume that kiyum, right, melachim is kayemes b'shabes, when it comes to melachim kosher, is based on a global principle that you need melachim b'shabes. So the fact is, if it's not shel kayam, you're going to be bothered whether rachmana kari kesher or not kari kesher. So this is another example of a malacha that we find that the idea of malacha she'enem es kayemes might be based on malachim b'shabes, a global principle of Shabbos, or might be based on the particular malacha that maybe the malacha is not defined as a malacha unless it's going to be this.